Peace. That's his name. Amen. Proverbs 31 tonight. This is part two. Wisdom concerning marriage. Part two. Last week we talked about the selection of a wife and the selection of a husband. Those of you that are single and need to get married one day, you need to really listen to that and seek to follow God's word on that decision. Amen. I think we've definitely said, apart from salvation, that decision can really make or break you the rest of your life, who you marry. And it could either help you or pull you down. So you need to really follow the Lord's will in that. We bring up our, should have an outline here. So tonight, we're looking at the wisdom concerning marriage, Proverbs 31. We'll begin at verse 10 to the end. And I told my wife about this message already. I said, are you going to stay home sick or come to church? Here she is. Amen. That's because she fulfills this. I believe, anyway. Proverbs 31:10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field, and buyeth it with the fruit of her hand. She planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow, for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Let's pray. Father, tonight we thank you for the book of wisdom, the Bible, but more specifically the book of Proverbs, as we're seeking wisdom from you on how to live our lives, how to apply your word to life. So we ask you, Lord, tonight that you would speak through this message to all of us as we consider a virtuous woman, but also a virtuous wife, a virtuous husband. So Father, help us to understand the message tonight, all of us, as it applies to every one of us here. And Father, I pray for those that still need to get married and make the decision. Father, help them to truly seek your will, seek your wisdom, and fulfill your word and their future decisions, to follow you and follow the truth of your word in all things, especially marriage, that your will may be done in their lives. And we'll give you the praise, the honor, and glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned in the introduction, in the last message, we discovered that Proverbs can be helpful guide to selecting a good spouse, husband, or wife. We learned some characteristics to look for in each. But tonight, we're going to talk about what the Bible says about being a good spouse. How to be a good wife, an ideal husband. And the importance of this subject should be evident. Why? Because happiness in life is affected by how successful we are in marriage. Amen? I mean, that does affect your life and your happiness. And in fact, even our usefulness to the Lord is affected by the relationship between husbands and wives. How many men are disqualified from the ministry because they got divorced or they have a broken marriage, so they can't be in the ministry? I mean, there's qualifications in the Bible. I know they don't respect them today, sadly, but that's what the Bible teaches. So we do know the truth of God's word. In fact, remember, just one example, I think we alluded to it, that if things are not right between a husband and wife in 1 Peter 3, the Bible says your prayers will be hindered. So even your walk with the Lord, if things aren't right in your marriage, you got to get right in the marriage to be able to stay right with the Lord. Amen? I think it's mutual. Your relationship with the Lord, and if you're not right with the Lord, you're not going to be right in your marriage. If you're not right in your marriage, you're not going to be right with the Lord. It works hand in hand. And so tonight we're going to look at, first of all, the virtuous wife, as we've read in this passage. And we know this is the ideal wife. And some characteristics, obviously we could spend every verse here, weeks and weeks developing this passage. But let's just cover some of the highlights. Number one, she is trustworthy, verse 11. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. Amen. He can entrust her with everything. With his money, if he wanted to. Whatever he has, he safely trusts her that she won't squander it away. And she will use it in a way that benefits both of them. She is trustworthy. Verse 12, she is filled with an enduring love. She's really devoted to her husband. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Amen. So all of her life, she's going to endure in that love toward her husband. Just as she vowed at the wedding ceremony, she's fulfilling that all the days of her life. Obviously, there's a lot of practical skills throughout this whole text. Sewing, cooking. Yeah, I think we're all happy about that. I still can't, and I know this sounds silly, but my dad used to darn his socks. And I can't get my wife to do that. She says, throw them out. Get new ones. That's okay. It's just a standing joke. You know, I said, honey, my dad, he would sew up those socks. Amen. Darn the socks. And I think he had a little thing. He put the sock over or he maybe even had, buy it on those TV commercials, machines that would he would fall for those things. It was funny. Practical skills. Cooking. We all like that, don't we? Enjoy that. You can read that, verses 13 through 15, and then again down in 21 to 22. But then we see she is industrious. Verse 16, she considereth the field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hand. She planted the vineyard. There's nothing wrong with that. Amen. Providing, helping in the household with land, with vineyards, with gardens. It even says here, she makes a merchandise and she sells it. Obviously, there are times when a wife will add income back to the marriage or to the home in some way. So she's industrious. Verse 20, she is compassionate. Compassionate. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. And so the heart of just being able to help others, reach out and help others. But also in verse 25, she does have a strong character. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. You know, character matters. Amen. Yeah, I know we don't think that anymore in our country. I think that went out the window when they reelected Bill Clinton. That's when you could say character did not matter. Meaning you could be, you know, condemned for immorality, found out for immorality, but you could still be our president. So that's the standard of the world. But character matters, especially in a marriage, amen? And she develops the right character. I think Peter, go to 1 Peter 3. Again, the New Testament counterparts, obviously there's a lot of passages we can turn to, but 1 Peter 3, verse 3, whose adorning let it not be outward adorning of plaiting of hair and wearing of gold and putting on of apparel, but let it be what? The hidden man of the heart. That's the character, amen? That which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, a great price. And so it's the inward, it's the character, the inward man. And then we see, back in our text, she speaks words of wisdom and kindness. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Amen. So, she's concerned about what comes out of her mouth. Amen. Be concerned. That's she's careful about what she says. And obviously, the New Testament is full of that in Ephesians 4. We were there in the morning, but later in the chapter, talks about our speech and how to treat one another, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Then we see she diligently, there we go again. I stuttered, even when I'm typing. She diligently sees to her family's needs. I probably skipped one. No, I got it here. Okay. I think I got the rest of them on there. Yes. She diligently sees her family's needs. Verse 27. She looketh well into the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. And so she's going to make whatever preparation necessary, as in verse 15. She riseth also while it is yet night, giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Her family does not go in want. Verse 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. So here she's diligently seeing to her family's needs. And then she fears the Lord. Verses 29 and 30. And I think, isn't this the most important quality that kind of, if you have this, then everything else will fall in its proper place in due time as God makes you in the image of Christ and you learn the skills of motherhood and being a wife and the household and as you grow and develop. But it all starts with your relationship with the Lord. Verse 29. Many daughters have done virtually, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Amen. This is the most praiseworthy quality, more than physical beauty. And that's, I think, what God wants us to learn when seeking a wife. That's what the Bible's teaching. We brought that out, I believe, last week, this same passage. And we know that because when there's fear of the Lord, then there will come wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So that's the main characteristic here that she ought to be praised for. Amen. Now, again, negatively speaking, what the ideal wife does not want to be, and that's contentious. We looked at some of these qualities last week, or even hateful. And being contentious and hateful, then your husband will not want to be around you. So all these things are spelled out in God's word. The virtuous wife. Now the virtuous husband. And here's the question. Where is the passage on the virtuous husband? Remember, I think a lot of women may have asked this question. Maybe you have. And it's raised in this, suggesting that there is none. Let me give you an answer. How many chapters are in the book of Proverbs? 31. How many are written to men? 30 chapters. And ladies, you get a half a chapter. And you're saying, where is it? It's right here in the book of Proverbs. Listen, if you had a man that lived according to what Solomon's saying in the book of Proverbs, he would be a virtuous man. Amen. There's some things, obviously, I'm not going to go through the whole book of Proverbs again. But you remember everything that we taught, and we're teaching the young men, we're teaching sons, and Solomon's teaching the children of the nation, amen? Both men and women, don't get me wrong, it's all applicable. So we do see Proverbs are primarily addressed to the man, but also we do understand that if this entire book was followed, it produces a type of husband that any woman would love. So the ideal husband, he values his wife highly. Obviously, we'll come back to chapter 31. Let's step away a few minutes. Proverbs 18:22. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Amen. Isn't that a blessing when God answers your prayers? When you seek God and then he provides his selection. I was lost when I went in the military. Before I got saved, I was lost. I was in the world. I was in the dating scene, teenagers, this and that. But when I got saved, I didn't date. anymore. I quit that. And I believe that God one day would provide my wife. So all those years, from the time I was 18, I got saved. I made that decision in my heart not to be dating, but to wait on God. And look what God provided. Hello. In God's timing, God provided my wife. And I've been blessed because of it, because I waited on the Lord, because God worked in her life. God worked in my life. God brought us together. A lot of funny things happened when I met her. Some stories she can tell you. Really, the first time I met her, I mean, I say at church, I put a vacuum cleaner in her hand and she walked in the door. I said, here, you do this. And I forget what we were doing, but I think I made a mess somewhere. I was in charge of the children, and I made a mess of something. And here, vacuum this up. So I still buy her nice vacuum cleaners. Anyway, there's some other good stories too, but we got to move on. 1914. Houses and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. You know, parents, we can pass down our inheritance. We can save some money up, or life insurance, and you know, once we leave something to the children. Amen. That's a good thing. But God provides your wife. Your mom and dad can't do that for you. You got to wait on the Lord. I mean, I'm not saying they do have an important role in finding your future spouse. But God is the one who provides. Amen. You need to seek the Lord. And God will do that if you wait on Him. So when you say you value your wife highly, it's because you realize she's a gift from God. And especially when she fulfills what we read in Proverbs 31, the more thankful you can be in your life. And then he gives his wife the reward of her labors back in Proverbs 31. He recognizes that. He recognizes how much she does. 31:31. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. So what does this mean? He's actually giving her the opportunity to develop her own abilities, and then to reap the benefits of her own labors. This is part of recognizing the value of your wife. And then in verses 28 and 29, same chapter, he praises his wife profusely. That's frequently. 28 and 29, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. He praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Right there's an example. Praising your wife. And then, and the idea is, do not take her for granted. Amen. Do not take her for granted. Verse 11. He trusts his wife implicitly. He trusts his wife implicitly. He demonstrates his willingness to trust her. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. So there's a willingness. There's a demonstration of that willingness. Trust her intelligence. Trust her faithfulness. Trust her abilities. So this is trusting trusting. And then Proverbs 5, as we already preached through that chapter, go back to Proverbs 5. He is content with his wife's love. Amen. And that was the whole message when we're talking about immorality and how to avoid it. It says in verse 15, drink waters out of thine own cistern and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as a loving hind and pleasant roan. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. And that's that picture that we painted of immorality, infidelity, and what it does to marriages. But the whole point here is being satisfied with your wife's love, content with your wife's love, not looking anywhere else. So do you see how practical these messages are? Amen. God has a plan. God tells us. And as conclusion, let's remind ourselves again, so much of the joy and meaning of life that God would have us enjoy is lost if there's not a good marriage. We need to protect our marriages. We need to protect our families. And if there's not a good marriage, then we understand the consequences in our own lives and in our children. Solomon wrote in another book of wisdom, in Ecclesiastes, what does he say? Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life, of thy vanity. Now remember, vanity meaning, he's writing from this standpoint, what is life under the sun without God? That's what he's saying, part of the context of the book of Ecclesiastes. And that's what he's saying there, which he hath given thee under the sun all the days of thy vanity, for that is the portion in this life, in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. So, but the point is this, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life. The rest of it, we understand, vanity is vanity. All is vanity. That's not what he's saying about marriage. There's positive instruction in the book of Ecclesiastes. Like, here's the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. There's a lot to preach out of the book of Ecclesiastes. But there's so much in that book that he's saying, I tried this, I tried that. It's vain, it's empty. Don't go there. I've already been there. I'm trying to save you heartache. That's part of the book of Ecclesiastes, amen? But in this part, he is telling us how to live with the wife whom we love all the days of our lives, amen? And that's not the soap opera, by the way. What are we learning from this book of wisdom? That's the question. You know, we have to always return to this. What are you learning? I can preach all these messages, but what are you learning? How is this helping you? What do you need to change in your life? Brethren, the preaching is for change, not just for knowledge, but that we would say, you know what? These are some areas I need to fix in my marriage. These are some areas I need to work on. Maybe these are some areas I need to discuss. Maybe as a young person, boy, I thought I knew what I needed, and There's a lot here that I haven't even considered yet. God, give me wisdom. God, give me understanding. Maybe I need to seek some counsel, some help, so that my eyes will be open to God's will for my life. What are you learning? What are you willing to change in your life to honor and glorify the Lord? Amen. Let's all stand. Every head bowed, every eye.